biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I just wanted to start with the very base. Actually, what I should start with is Jose Altuve just yesterday on Labor Day helping make sure that the Astros get a victory 8-3 versus the Angels and make sure that they also split that series, that four-game set. Otherwise, I'd have been upset in a way. Mm-hmm. In doing that, remember, he hit the foul pole?
Hit the foul pole.
And today is the day where you can go get you some free Chick-fil-A because of that.
That's a great promotion.
And so I just wanted to do a PSA.
Yeah. Go get your Chick-fil-A.
If you have not done that, you need to make sure you do that. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Houston Chronicle being like, hey, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. You just want to make sure that you're signed up for the Chick-fil-A.
Want to make sure Chick-fil-A pays all the chicken.
Hey, man. Look, if there's one thing that I have loved for a very long time, I think that it's one of the things that brings us together as humans. The opportunity for free stuff, particularly when it's free food.
Yes.
And so had that Chick-fil-A app, just being in the Houston area, phone service, location services all turned on. You should be able to get that free chicken. So shout out to Jose Altuve, doing it for the people. Like, I feel like if there is a single solitary way to get to the hearts of the fans.
Food.
Win them free stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, miss the free throws like Bobby to get people the celebration. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hit the foul pole. Just hit one of these marks that ultimately allows us to get free stuff.
Yes.
And Jose Altuve being the man of the people right then. I did want to hit you with this because, you know, I have been keeping up with this because I'm sick, but I'm also excited for basketball season, which starts October 21st. I think we get preseason basketball this year, which I will be tuned into, in part because I'm excited to see how this man continues to show up. Alper Şengün led Turkey to their fourth straight win over Estonia over the weekend. 21-8-5 with only one turnover, which that's a real interesting kind of thing there. Steal, block, 8 of 13 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, so adding in the three-point ball, which is going to be fun to see how he continues to be able to stretch the floor. 3 of 3 from the free throw line, which has been one of the big things.
He's actually hit a lot of free throws on this
He's been really good hitting free throws in this tournament, so I think that's a big thing. And then for me, and I know it's something that he's done a little bit, and he's done, like, maybe a little bit is not fair, but he continues to do, and I've made the note, and I probably will keep making the note. His playmaking is continuing to progress. Like, we might just be locking him into All-Star. Like, because last year, him being an All-Star felt like, oh, he had a good season. He might be ascending to the place where he's just, go ahead and pencil him in. Your Rockets All-Star, or one of your Rockets All-Stars, at the very least, is Alper Şengün.
Isn't he still 23, or has he turned 24 yet? He is so young. He's been a pro since he was 15 or 16. And the reason I say that is just like in the NFL, in the NBA, players like to focus in on one thing that they want to, you know, they want to get better at. It could well be that. I've been just sort of superficially watching this, more just recaps and stories about it, et cetera. I blame you for...
You've been listening to What's Poppin'. That's what's happening.
I blame you for digging into a little bit more of this. And I think that's... I think you're right. I think that's the one thing. I don't put a lot of stock in necessarily what the numbers are, you know, scoring and rebounding, but the free throws and the assist, it seems like he's really focused in on that. By the way, I think they play Serbia today at 1:30 or thereabouts. And I just made note of that. That's going to be the best test yet because Serbia... Damn well should have beat the Americans, if not for Steph, you know, in the Olympics.
So Şengün turned 23 this past July.
Yeah. He's 23.
It feels like he's already been in this league for like
I know.
A long time.
Yeah.
He probably has. Like, that's one of the things in basketball, though, is like, oh, man, he's 23. It's like, yeah, he's been in the league for like 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's where we seem to be at this point. Turkey, Serbia is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
But of course, that's still a really good matchup because you talk about the big Serbians that are involved, including obviously Nikola Jokic. That's the Jokic versus baby Jokic is going to be quite.
That's going to be the one to watch.
Quite an interesting one. Yeah. Of course, we'll keep you
keep
updated
up with, we'll say.
With as we see some other things around the NFL. There's a best MLB trade deadline moves of top of rather 2025 was put out by MLB. And shout out to the Astros, because very clearly one of those has been Carlos Correa, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, in terms of what we were just talking about with the Astros, like players that are sort of, you know, crucial down the stretch that you have to count on a lot, I would say obviously Jason Alexander, and obviously Carlos Correa, and obviously Yordan Alvarez. None of those guys were around, you know, at the start of the season, or very little around at the start of the season. So yeah, that's going to be important.
Yeah. So he comes in at third on this list, following, I believe, only the Mike Yastrzemski move.
Mike Yastrzemski?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That guy?
Why did that one come out of my mouth so tough? Yeah. For the Royals, and then Ramon Laureano joining the Padres. And so, I mean, he's been huge for you, especially as you lost Isak Paredes. So salute to Dana Brown, because that's clearly been a very good move. And he's even progressed as a player, interestingly enough. Like, mm-hmm. he was in a place where I was a little concerned about the defense, and of course moving from shortstop to third has been helpful in that way, but that has been good as well. Some other things that are popping. Do we have the top 25 out now?
It's going to be announced here in the next hour or so, and we will let you know. A lot of people are projecting, you know, is it going to be Ohio State or Penn State number one? It's going to be Ohio State. I think Penn State probably deserves a lot of mention as the number one team in the country, but I think it's going to be Ohio State based on that. And then, of course, interesting things to watch as you go through that, you know, is where is Notre Dame going to fall? What is going to happen with Clemson and LSU? That game, and we'll get into it a little bit more when we do a little CF boat later.
College football on a Tuesday, if you're not familiar.
College football on a Tuesday, also known as CF boat. I loved what I saw from LSU and Clemson in terms of level of play. So LSU, you know, getting that done.
Best game on the weekend, LSU Clemson?
Yeah. I like Notre Dame Miami as well.
That was the one of mm-hmm. the I would say five big games: Ohio State versus Texas, Florida State Bama, mm-hmm. LSU Clemson, mm-hmm. Notre Dame Miami, and then of course last night's TCU UNC. That was the only one that I didn't see.
For you
to put that one as probably the best one.
It was one of them. It was more intriguing and just probably already the catch of the year. We'll dig into more of that as well.
I wonder if Kansas State might drop a few spots because they almost lost. I know almost.
That was
whatever.
A battle.
Almost lost.
That was a battle.
Against North Dakota. Yeah. Not State, just North Dakota.
The Fighting Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit that I do think that they're just, this is going to be a rough year for K-State.
You think so?
Defense just might be bad, flat mm-hmm. out.
Because, I mean, it's crazy. I think they...
Nobody wants to hear me talk about K-State, but their defense might just be
that's
bad.
Fair. That's
hey,
fair.
We're talking about the top 25, man. Can do that.
Well, according to ESPN's FPI, they're still up there as Texas, interestingly enough, still number one in the FPI rankings, which I'm sure once
come
we,
on man
people are
what
people
are we
are
doing then?
Sick about
what
them.
Are we doing
I
man?
Hear, we're I getting
hear
mad
the, I hear the oozing bias yeah. from John Lopez right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, no, it's not even bias. Like, what are we doing? They just lost to the number two team and looked pretty bad
on the road.
Yeah,
though? Not in that 2 minute offense though. That 2 minute offense was dicing them boys up until Arch couldn't hit his receiver.
I'm not a Texas guy, as of course everyone knows full and well, Sam Houston guy, but you know, you kind of have to give Texas a bit of a benefit of the doubt going on the road. In the
do you
shoe.
Have to give
based
it to
on what?
Do you have to give it
I
to
mean,
him?
I mean, Sain didn't really have that. Didn't really have this monster of a game.
He looked pretty good. He looked better than Arch.
He looked solid.
Yeah,
he looked solid.
I'd say give Arch at least a few more games to get a better sample.
Well, and that's what I said earlier. I think, you know, he's got these three games coming up that are going to be, you know, not necessarily gimmies, but certainly not Ohio State. Then an off week before Florida. I think that's when you have to start making your sort of, you know, evaluations and conclusions, or at least early conclusions on Arch. But you go into that game and they did not play the way that we expected. Like I said it earlier, if this is the floor for Texas, you know, an inaccurate and bad mechanics of Arch, really good defense, then that's still not what you expected. I think Ohio State's going to be number one. I think LSU could jump to number two.
A couple things. One, did you see that a certain Mr. Deshaun Watson sold his $1.3 million Houston? It's been described as a mansion, mm-hmm. which, I mean, in Houston, 1.3.
Depends on where you are, it can go a long way.
But, yeah, I mean, you should be able to put some. Is that a little bit much, calling it a
mansion?
$1.3 million mansion.
Much. Yeah, mansion is a bit much.
Were you surprised though that he still had the house of Houston after all?
Hey man, it's hard to sell homes that, especially at that price.
Yeah,
at that price.
I guess that's fair. Yeah. 5 bedroom, 5 bath, 5,264 square feet.
Okay, so he was in the burbs. That's a huge house. Like in the city, $1.2 million will get you maybe 2,500 square feet. And, you know, in the Heights or somewhere, or, you know, certainly in River Oaks, it's, it'd be
Royal Oaks, close to Royal Oaks Country Club.
Yeah.
Apparently had a chef's kitchen, resort style pool, wet bar, media room with a projector and screen, three car garage plus golf cart garage.
Yeah, he's the burbs. That was the, and those are hard to sell, man.
Well, somebody finally took it.
Somebody took it. How do you like it?
How do I like it, or how do he like it?
How do you like it?
I have not seen it.
When are you moving in?
Buddy, that was the question I was going to ask. When you're selling that house, right? Mm-hmm. Some people enjoy knowing that the previous owner was famous. It's the Seinfeld. Whose car was it again?
Why do I not remember?
And of course, as soon as I was going to go there, I forgot as well. John Voight's car. Except not the right John Voight.
It's spelled differently.
Right. Do you think they said, hey, this is Deshaun Watson's house? Or do you think they just kept that one on low?
I would not. Now, they do have to disclose like things about the house.
Yeah, when we're closing.
When you're closing.
But that's not part of the sell, right?
No, not Deshaun Watson. What I want to know, it depends on who it is. Yeah, but I would definitely want to know if it was Deshaun Watson's
house. Like, if he's one of those dudes that has like...
Why is everything slippery?
All right. I was going to say, if he was
I'm sliding all over this place. The floors are awful.
Reggie's beside us.
What am I supposed to do after that?
It's just slippery.
Honestly,
you went there. I just said it was slippery.
You kind of just sit there in awkward silence.
How did I go there?
And then you just move on.
I was just trying to make the point as to how, you know, obviously his reputation is very, very different than it was at one point.
Some tacky shoes.
And that's what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Oh, by the way, David Mulligetti, the agent for super agent just generally in the NFL, was on First Take this morning telling everybody that Michael Parsons, all he wanted to do was be a Cowboy, and they did their best to try and keep him a Cowboy, but you know, obviously it didn't work out that way.
Mm. Well, okay.
I don't buy a lot.
If you say so, yeah. If you say so.
Obviously, I've not watched the whole thing, but that just that quote alone made me go, hey, did we need you talking?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you won without
it's
talking.
It's rare to get him to talk.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I, of course, I'm sure if I watch, and maybe when I watch all of it, I'll get a better idea of what it is. But just off of that one alone, that's like, hey, Mike wanted to be a Cowboy the whole time. And they was the ones who did this. So I was like, hey, I don't know if we need to do it that way. Anyways, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, y'all on the text line wilding. Are we downplaying one very important thing about Matthew Stafford for the Sunday game versus the Texans, the opener? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.